Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's open the mail, shall we?
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Please be prolific. Why? If you don't send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea at wretched.org, there's going to be a lot of dead air. Hold that thought. Perhaps you like that idea. Whatever your motivation is, please send wretched stuff to idea at wretched.org.
All right, we start with Chris. Todd, need your help with this. My church is soon going to be hosting a preacher that I'm not too big a fan of. I'm on the worship team, so expected to be there, but I don't want to be there. I was considering going on vacation for that week to avoid the event. Am I in sin here?
Well, I don't know your heart. If you're murdering the guy, yeah, you would be. But is it a sin to maybe conveniently take a little vacation to avoid something that could be a potential conflict in the church? I wouldn't say that, but I would suggest there is an alternative, and that is simply telling whoever is responsible, if you don't mind, I'd like to sit this one out. They might say, why? Well, I just prefer that. If they keep persisting and they force you to tip your hand, you could say, for these reasons, I'd rather not participate. I'm sure you're okay with that because I'm not forsaking the assembling of the saints. So I think taking that route where we talk to each other loving, no, take a vacation. Don't have a chance. We should be able to talk about these things lovingly, and hopefully you can. Idea at wretched.org.
All right, our next question is from Arana, who says, Todd, should women teach deep theology to other women? I've heard it suggested that there's a deeper theology that should only be taught by elders.
All right. I'm thinking of any Bible verse that would make a distinction about the type of theology that a woman can teach another woman. I think of Titus that says women are to teach, older women are to teach younger women. Does that mean only certain things? Well, the context is teaching the woman to be pure and godly, submissive, running a home. And that's what it's telling the older women to teach the younger women. But I would suggest to you, rather than saying there's some sort of theological level distinctive there, you've got to use theology to teach those things. We can't teach anybody. You're always teaching theology, whether you're aware of it or not. If you're talking about godliness, you're teaching theology. So if an older woman is going to teach a younger woman those things, she is teaching theology. So I have to ask myself the question, is there a Bible verse that would say there is a line that can't be crossed? And if there is, how do we define that? How would we know what that is? So a woman can teach another woman, say, from Norman Geisler's systematic theology, but not Millard Erickson's, because that's just, like, too high. I just don't see an explicit, or dare I say, even implicit text that would create a distinction, a level of theology that would be prohibited from one woman to teach another. And might I add, there's a lot of smart women that are very good theologians, and it would be a crime to limit that. The only restriction the Bible puts on a woman teaching, whether it's shallow or deep theology, is the office and usurping the authority of the elder. Otherwise, I don't see that distinction. If you do, you can send it to idea at wretched.org.
All right, our next question comes from Madison. Todd, as I graduate from my youth group, I'm a little worried about transitioning into the young adult ministry at my church because they meet less frequently. Mm. Will I be fed less? Is it up to me now to feed myself? What can I do to match what I'm losing?
Yeah. Well, good on you. First of all, I would say you can touch your elders and say, you know, just for whatever it's worth, we used to meet this much. Now it looks like we're only going to be meeting that. I'd love to be meeting more. I'm one of those. And you can deliver that lovingly and respectfully to them and see what they do. And if they don't respond for whatever reason, we'll honor them because we don't know everything that's going on in the church. Then, yep, you would have to find food elsewhere. Or you could still find it in the church by leading something yourself. Hey, are you one of the 20-somethings or whatever the age group thing is? You want to get together? Remember how we used to meet on Tuesdays too? Let's do that, just us. And you could do a Bible study together. It is up to you to keep feeding yourself. Now, make no mistake about it, the shepherd is indeed delivering the meal for us. But if you're continually hungry, that's a most excellent thing. You're just going to have to find a way to get your belly full. And I got to tell you, thanks for the encouragement. It's nice when you hear somebody who's young be concerned that they're not going to get enough church. Whoa! idea@wretched.org.
This next question is from Hannah. Todd, what are the indications of a true believer versus a professing unbeliever, especially in the cases where a person appears to believe, feel, say, and do all the right things?
So are we talking about true and false converts here?
I think so. I think that's the intention of the question.
Well, the ultimately, God is the one who knows determinatively. He is the one definitively, this is the status. And yet, there are signs. Does the individual who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ act like it? Because typically, if you dig a little bit, you're going to find some things that are concerning. You might find some theological wonkiness. Jesus warned us, good fish, rotten fish, wise virgins, foolish virgins, wheat and tares. The church can have an awful lot of rotten fish inside of it. Now, the trick is that we don't become fishermen trying to find the rotten fish to yank them out of the church pond. That's not the attitude that we should possess. But when we run into somebody and their life isn't in alignment with their theology, you might be concerned. Not definitely, because let's be honest, if somebody took a magnifying glass to all of us, they're going to find some stuff. But in general, is the person growing in godliness? Are they conformed increasingly into the image of Jesus Christ? And if they are, and if their profession of faith is sound, be careful that you don't judge beyond that, because we start to get into a territory where we can be pretty much a church that has a membership of one. idea@wretched.org.
All right, next from Aaliyah. Todd, I've been using sinful entertainment as a distraction lately, and I'm struggling to stop. I watch it, I feel nothing, and it's almost as though I'm really dead to it, yet it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
I think I struggle with assurance, but I'm not sure if that's really the root of this issue or not.
But your lack of assurance is a fruit. There's something going on deeper down there. And what you're describing, I'm afraid, is the inevitable progression of a seared conscience. Now, I'm not saying that of you. I'm just saying that a seared conscience doesn't typically happen overnight. It's progressive. Ignore everything. I don't care about God. It's a progression. And if you are headed in that direction, you need to put the brakes on lickety split, and you need to divorce that entertainment. No, you need to murder that entertainment. Not mortify, murder it. Be done, smash it, crag. My computer caused it, kill it. Because it's searing your conscience. Get it out. It is time for serious measures. To amputate the limbs that are causing you to die. Get rid of it and then start feeding yourself. Start understanding increasingly the goodness of your God, the love of God in Christ Jesus, and you will want to sin less and less, and your conscience will slowly but progressively become increasingly sensitive, and that is the place where you want to be. Idea@wretched.org.
Was it John Owen that said, be killing sin?
Or it's going to be killing you.
Yeah.
It's true. And if you haven't been killing sin for a bit, chances are fair, you're going backwards. If you're not progressing in sanctification, you're likely regressing because sin is so sneaky, just imperceptibly deceptive. It lies. It perpetually lies, and it wants to drag you to the bottom of the ocean. So if you are not paddling like a nobody's business to keep your head above water, you're drowning. So take a moment, take a little bit of time, and just ask yourself some examination questions. Am I fighting sin the way I used to fight it? Do I have the practices that I used to find so easy to apply in my life? Am I doing those anymore? Am I as faithful in some of the disciplines? Or have I decided, don't really need that as much as I used to? Be careful. You could be, I would even go a little stronger than that. You likely are in need of some shoring up. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever. At FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at FortisInstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Know your church fathers. Athenagoras was a Christian philosopher in Athens who used his training to defend the Christian faith against Roman persecution. He wrote On the Resurrection of the Dead, arguing that the nature of God, the nature of humanity, and the concept of justice only make sense if there is a physical resurrection.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Keep them coming. Keep those questions coming. Conundrums or snarks are coming because we're going to be needing them. This is Wretched Radio. Please send us stuff, would you?
Okay.
That was your cue right there.
All right. Well,
okay, Pavlov, send your stuff to idea@wretched.org.
Now that's my cue.
There All right. you have it.
This is from Travis. It's an interesting question. I think it deserves some attention. He says, Todd, I feel called into discernment ministry, but I'm unsure how to engage false teaching. He says he feels like interrupting services where these lies are being spewed, but knows there's obviously a more tactful way to handle it.
Sure.
And was wondering how you think he should go about it.
Well, there's much to be said about the subject of discernment. Hey, we have a resource called Drive-By Discernment that might be awfully helpful for you. It's available at wretched.org. Do I think you should go to a church where there's a lousy preacher and stand up and shout him down? I don't think so. It just creates chaos. I think all it does is repels people more than actually helps. Now, I will tell you that I can understand being in a church service where you didn't anticipate a stinker and wanting to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, something like that, it would have to be something really rank, but I need to ask myself the question, if I'm not a member of that congregation, is it my duty to speak up during the service and say something? And I'd lean to the side of no. I think you need to wait. It's really just be to practice some good manners and address the fellow afterwards, knowing that it probably won't do much good unless it's a guy who just gaffed. He just, whoop, didn't mean to say that. Sorry, thank you for bringing it to my attention. I'll correct that immediately. Can you go about the business, though, of talking about them? Yes, but you need to remember what type of person you're talking about. Are you talking about a believer who said something false? Or are you talking about a false teacher who said something heretical? There's a big difference, because if you're talking about somebody who's a brother and you disagree with something, personally, I don't think you need to name names. I just don't think you have to. Could there be a time and could you wrap it with some cotton candy? Hey, I really like this guy, been a big blessing to me, but... And then off you go, judging whatever it is that happens to be your concern. I don't think that's necessary. Just talk about it. Write it. If you're a blogger, write an article about what's wrong with that type of thinking and why your understanding of the Bible is better without dragging a brother down. Now, if the person is a false teacher, can you name them? Yep. Do you need to? Not always. Can you? Absolutely. The Bible does. Paul didn't hesitate. And there's so many examples in the Bible of names being named, of guys that would probably prefer their names were not written down in the Bible. Have you met any kids named Judas lately? Judas Iscariot. His name is written down, and he's actually judged as a false convert. So it is okay to name names. Just remember, there are some rules that are involved in apologetics. And if you dig apologetics, that is cool. But please, become an apologist. Study it, not just good theology so you can discern false, but how to practice apologetics. This is so often forgotten. I have the gift of discernment. Pew, pew, pew. And they spend no time thinking. Read the letters of John Newton. So helpful. He's writing to a fellow pastor who has told him he's going to publicly critique another Christian. And John Newton sends him a lengthy diatribe, encouraging him, be careful how you do this. You don't want to cause division among the brethren. In other words, Newton realized it's not enough to simply point out false. It's discerning whether or not it should be done, needs to be done, can be done, and how we go about the business of marking and potentially dividing. So if you're going to study apologetics, don't just study good theology. Study how to discern and send your stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this next question is from Abram.
Judge not.
Judge not.
There's a few chapters in a book I wrote called Judge Not that deals with this particular subject, and I'm pretty sure that we went through some of these rules too in Drive-By Discernment, because it's interesting when I studied the subject. I do what you do. Okay, well, how do others do? What are the rules of discernment? Wait, that was supposed to be a whistle. Jimmy, can you whistle for me?
No.
What's going on?
I just can't whistle.
Well, there's sort of a lame whistle. Couldn't find much. Really, I don't think I found anything. That nobody said, hey, let's talk about the steps. Let's talk about categorizing people. Let's talk about levels of differences. Now, a lot of that stuff is out there in various forms, but I didn't find anything that said, you need to consider this, you need to consider this, you need to consider that. And we need all of us to learn them their rules, because we have an awful lot of bad apologetics happening inside of the local church. Forget the internet. Woo! You can find a lot of bad apologetics there, but it also happens inside of the local church. You don't need to be judging everything. Now, on the other hand, if you judge nothing, that's a problem too, but you need to think it through. Here was an example. Your pastor, your faithful pastor, he gets up and he quotes Joel Osteen. I don't know, maybe he got hit in the head on the way up there. And you're like, whoa, what's the deal here? Okay, do you approach the guy? Well, maybe, probably, to say, hey, pastor, I'm just curious. It sounded like you were affirming Joel Osteen. Who? Joel Osteen. You talked about, well, I don't know who the guy is. I just read a quote, and I thought it was pretty decent, which we all know is highly unlikely. The point of this fantastic scenario is you would approach him respectfully, asking, do you know these things? Is there a reason you did that? Did you intend to do that? That's different than standing up in the church and going, heretic, quoter of the Joel Osteen. Now, what if you walk into the pastor's office and you look at his computer screen and there's an image up there that ain't good? How do you approach that? Some people would probably say nothing and then go tell everybody else about it. Wrong. You would talk directly to the man. Pastor, what is that image doing? Not because you want to throw the man under the bus, but because you realize potentially there's a man in danger here. This could be a shepherd who is straying. I hope not, but what's going on? And the pastor goes, whoa, how did that get up there? Whoa, no, that doesn't go. Go ahead, check my search engine. I'm telling you, there's a newspaper... And there was an article about a medication, and I clicked on it. And then on the right-hand side, it's all celebrity stuff. And you could tell, just periphery, a lot of skin over there. Okay, I click, and I just get out of that. I don't care what the article is. It ain't worth it. So I get out of that. But let's just say the pastor was reading the same article, and he clicked one of those stories on the side by mistake when you came in. And there it is. You see the woman in the bikini. Well, you would approach him as if he were a father, and you ask him what's happening, and you listen to his explanation. Now, if it sounds hinky, like, that doesn't seem all that plausible, Pastor. I'm concerned about this. Could you consider possibly telling another elder because of the potential level of this? Yes, you could. But the entire time, it should be a hopeful, I sure hope that isn't the case that's going on there. And you could bring in somebody else because of the gravity of the potential sin. Now, what if you walk into your pastor's office and he has on his computer screen an article by Rick Warren?
You make a blog about him.
You make a blog about him. That's what you do.
That's right.
Now, why are you reading Rick Warren stuff? You're thinking, are you going seeker sensitive here? And maybe he's saying, no, I want to study it because we're going to be talking about 1 Timothy 2:12 this week, the role of women in the church and pastoral eldership being reserved for males. So I want to understand the argument. Okay. And away you go. How we approach it, crucial. When we approach it, crucial. What are the issues do we approach? Crucial. You see a dad in the parking lot. You've known this guy now for years because you don't do Zoom church. You actually assemble faithfully, and you know the guy. And he used to be a crackhead. He's gotten saved. He's cleaned up. He's been holding a job. He's so great with his wife and kids. It's amazing. And you hear him go, hey, come out of that car. Do you have to go after him? Probably not. One off. Now, if you hear him yelling at his kids all the time, hey, bro, why don't we go have a cup of coffee and talk about how we men can be a little bit more less than gentlemanly than we should be? But not for one-off stuff. The moral of the story is discern, yes. How you discern, please make sure you study the rules of discernment. This is Wretched Radio.